Good day and welcome to Partake. We're now on day 21 of our series Glimpses, looking at the story of the Bible in 30 days, from the time of creation through to the time of the fullness of redemption. Last time we looked at Jesus at prayer. Today we look at the events of his last night, the night before his death. In Luke chapter 22, we come to Jesus' last night before he goes to death on the Roman cross. It's the time for the feast of Passover. Jerusalem was filled with people come to celebrate this great event. Passover was a time to commemorate the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, and it was a time for remembering and rejoicing with families. But we start with the plans of Jesus' enemies. In Luke chapter 22, verses 1 to 6, we read that Jesus' enemies plotted to kill him and had arranged for Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, remember, to betray him. Of course, Satan is involved, just as he was at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, and his purpose was to destroy Jesus. What about Judas, though? Judas was motivated by greed, he was energized by Satan, and he was willing to betray Jesus for money. Judas was never a true believer because his sins had never been cleansed by the Lord. John 13 tells us this. And therefore, he had never truly believed or received eternal life, unlike the other disciples. And while all this is going on, Jesus is still in perfect control. All the elements in the plot conspiring against Jesus had been allowed for. Remember, Jesus had been talking to God the Father. The death of Jesus was no accident. So, what of Jesus' plans? In accordance with the Mosaic Covenant and the law, the people of Israel were expected to remove all yeast from their houses, Exodus 12 verse 15, as a reminder that their ancestors left Egypt in a hurry and had to eat bread without yeast on their travels to the promised land. In Luke 12 verse 1, Jesus had warned his disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In other words, the religious leaders of Israel had cleansed their houses, but not their hearts. The last thing the religious leaders wanted was a messianic uprising during Passover, Luke 19 verse 11. They would have heard the crowds talking up Jesus Christ as the Messiah, particularly after the events of the previous few days when Jesus entered Jerusalem. So how does Jesus prepare? Reading from Luke 22, verse 7 and 13. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." The disciples went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. The disciples needed a room within Jerusalem itself, and they also required food, a lamb, bread, bitter herbs, and wine. All were provided for. And now reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 23. Here, Jesus initiates the new covenant. Remember that from earlier on in the series? When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I would not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." The Passover meal contained a historical and theological symbolism regarding the death of Jesus. We'll come to see what those are later on in the series. But suffice to say at this point, it is why this meal is the model for the central act of Christian worship. You may know it as Holy Communion, or the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper. So what happened at a Passover meal? There was an opening prayer. Then the first cup of wine and a dish of herbs and sauce. Then the story of the Passover was recited. Then singing, Psalm 113. Then a second cup of wine. Then a prayer of grace. Then a main course of roast lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This was followed by a further prayer, then a third cup of wine, and then another sing-song, Psalm 114 to Psalm 118, and then lastly, a fourth cup of wine. Then following this, Jesus serves. Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and you can read about this in John chapter 13. And reading from John 13, verse 1 to 5. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. He had loved his disciples with them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and returned to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. As part of the custom of the day, a servant or a slave usually undertook foot washing of guests. And since none of the disciples had done this, Jesus himself undertakes the task. Peter, recalcitrant and resistant as always, objects. And Peter learns that only those cleansed by Jesus and trusting in him fully can be a part of his kingdom. Jesus' rising to serve symbolizes his coming to serve. That was his mission we talked about earlier on in the series. It was a mission of great love and service. When he took off his cloak, this symbolized the taking off of his glory when he became human. As he girded himself with a towel, he symbolized his taking on human flesh at his birth. And as the water cleansed the feet, so Jesus' death and blood cleanses from sin. When he finished cleaning, he returned to where he was sitting and sat down after finishing this act of service. And then, reading in Luke 22, verse 24 to 27, Jesus speaks. Then the disciples began to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them this: "In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here, for I am among you as one who serves." Here, Jesus tells his disciples that they are the new leaders and are therefore they will judge the tribes of Israel. That in doing so, they are to serve everyone gladly, regardless of rank. They are to love everyone, even those that test them and persecute them. This is a radical new thing Jesus is telling his disciples. Their actions are to back up their claims, just as Jesus' actions confirm his own claims. In doing so, Jesus replaces the old leaders of God with his own people. Tomorrow, we look at that day in history, the day Jesus Christ, the God-man, died. Thank you.